Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Heart of the Matter. Last week, I read an article in the Christian media which really got me going, got my blood up. In fact, this is the reason I decided to record a Heart of the Matter program this week, so that I could briefly comment on that article. I didn't have time last week. I can't say I prepared some in-depth commentary or something this week. I haven't. And so if this is a little choppy or whatever it might be, it's just some thoughts coming out as I want to comment on that particular article. But before I do that, I want to talk a little bit about a poll, talk about the results of a recent Gallup poll. And this poll put the following to those who were polled across the country. Please say if you have a favorable or unfavorable opinion of Pope Francis. Now, concerning, of course, his latest pope who fills the office of Antichrist, there has been so very much in the news ever since he was crowned with the triple tiara and took his seat on the papal throne. Of course, they don't crown the popes publicly with the triple tiara, not these days, because right now that would be very, very bad PR. But as I'm sure you must know, Pope Francis has been very outspoken in his promotion of economic socialism and central planning and central government. And in that, he has been very true to centuries-long Roman Catholic economic and social polity and dogma dating back at least to Thomas Aquinas. Now, Francis has also had plenty to say about, the need for gun control, world government, and what amounts to open borders between the U.S. and Mexico, as well as amnesty for illegal aliens in this country who have come from Mexico, and very dangerously included in their ranks are a good many violent criminals, including members of the brutal Mexican drug cartels. Well, we won't go down that road. We've talked about this. This whole issue of illegal immigration and the Romanizing of Protestant America by the Pope, we've talked about this going back into the 90s, this whole immigration issue. But here, too, the Pope, with regard to the things I mentioned, including illegal immigration and so on and so forth, he's been true to Roman Catholic dogma and not done any differently than past popes, even if he has been more out-and-out honest and upfront in his statements. Francis has also been a friend of New Sodom, but then again, what he has said and done has not been contrary to Roman Catholic teaching on homosexuality, which is that certain people are born homosexual and they must not be in any way discriminated against or shown any sort of disrespect. Now, if you want to check the accuracy of what I just said, then go ahead and go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church and there you'll find the basis of what I said with regard to homosexuality. Now, while I know that the Pope wields great influence, so we could be concerned about what he's doing here, I have to tell you, I've been happy that he's been so boldly and promiscuously, as we used to say, running off at the mouth. He isn't doing anything any other pope hasn't done, really, but he has been very, very vocal and open in it. And, of course, you know, they've all, we won't go into all the things, including socialized health care and all that the Roman Church has been working on so hard in this country. But he's just out in the open, very much out in the open. And anything which causes Americans to understand the true nature of popery and begin to turn against it is good. Now, we could wish our countrymen, including a great many evangelicals especially, would wake up and understand that the Roman Church is not Christian and that Romanism is idolatrous, blasphemous, deceitful, and spiritual slavery. But anything which gives large numbers of deceived Americans a sour taste for any reason in their mouth, any legitimate reason concerning popery, that is a good thing. And this pope has done just that. Even conservative talk show hosts who, I'm not talking about Christians now, just conservative talk show hosts who formerly would have paid due respect, though, to the Roman pontiff, are now leveling some very sharp criticism at him. And I'm talking about talk show hosts such as the most listened to man on talk radio, Rush Limbaugh. He's been saying some very sharp things against the pope. Now, it's not because the Pope is pro-life, because Limbaugh is pro-life. It's not because of something like that. No, it's been these latest remarks. But to get back to this Gallup poll, in February of 2014, a Gallup poll found, based on the samplings taken, deduced, you might say, that 76% of Americans had a favorable view of Pope Francis. 76% of Americans back in February 2014. The recent poll found that now that's down. That favorable view of the Pope has gone from 76%. It has dropped to 59%. Now, that is still tragically high, but it is a huge drop in that amount of time. So, yes, the Pope's mouth has done this, and it's something to rejoice in. But I want to go inside those poll numbers, as they say, just for a minute, or at least look at some of the numbers within the numbers. Support for Francis among Roman Catholics has dropped from 89% to 71%. Among what is listed as Protestants slash other Christians, the Pope has gone from 73% favorable to 52%. I know how terrible that there would be any favorable view of any Pope by those calling themselves Christians, but there it is. 52%, 73, now dropping to 52. And in that regard, you'll find this interesting. Among political conservatives, Francis has gone from 76% favorable a year and a half ago to now being viewed as favorable by 45%, which is a lower favorable rating given to the Pope by political conservatives than by Protestant slash other Christians. Now, I want to go to that other article I spoke of earlier, the one that got me going, you might say. It's on an issue I've been, I guess you might say, going on for a couple of decades and more. It appeared in a new evangelical news source, One News Now. The title of the article is "Christians in Public Schools, Time to Exit?" Question mark. Now, that title caught my eye. Came across on email, and so hoping for the best, I went to the story. Well, what I found was not the best, what I had hoped for, quite the opposite. I want to read the article to you and just make a few really brief comments, considering what could be said as we go along here. All right, the date is Monday, July 13th, 2015. A nationally recognized Baptist pastor says there's still a way for Christian parents to send their children to public schools with confidence. Now, what does that mean? Confidence? Confidence in what? Not confidence that the Word of God condones such a thing. That is, Christians sending their children into the cesspool, which is the government school system. Not to be truly educated properly either, but to be propagandized in many cases and even taught things that are very contrary to the Word of God, including when it comes to their science class. But let's go on. In the wake of the Supreme Court decision to legalize homosexual marriage, some people have expressed concerns that public schools now will feel justified in promoting homosexuality. Yeah, right, as if they haven't already felt justified. We've done ministry in front of government schools, including with regard to sharing some truth about homosexuality. And they felt a little justified in promoting it, defending it. But let's go on. Dr. Robert Jeffries, is that how you pronounce it? I've seen it many times in print, Jeffries. My apologies if it's wrong. I think it's Jeffries, pastor of the First Baptist Church, Dallas, contends the key factor in deciding whether to leave a child in public school and exposed to concepts contrary to Christian parents' beliefs lies with how those parents raise that child. Okay. Well, you see, there's concepts, as he says, contrary to Christian parents' beliefs. Well, it's also a moral cesspool. You're definitely putting all sorts of stumbling blocks in front of your child's feet, of course. He's going to see things that he really should not see. We've read about what they see. He's going to hear things we're talking about with regard to, moral issues now. He definitely should not hear. And we could say many other things on that. The Bible certainly says much about such a thing, putting children where they are going to be assaulted, with, well, filth, filth. The Bible says much about it. Jesus said that offenses must needs come, but woe to him by whom they come. Paraphrasing that verse. But at any rate, without getting into all that, this is what the doctor, the pastor says. I think if we do our job, frankly, in equipping our children in the truth of God's word, they can truly go to a public school as a missionary and not become a mission field themselves. Now, let's stop there. Over several decades, I have preached and written much on the issue of the education of the children of Christians. For instance, if you've not heard it, I don't often urge you to listen to a message by me, but I would like to urge you to listen to a message we have posted on our Pilgrim's Covenant Church sermon audio page. It's titled, An Education Acceptable to God. It's very comprehensive. In that sermon, I used, it wasn't really a sermon, was it? It was a Heart of the Matter program. I taped special, in fact, but I've done sermons. That was Heart of the Matter program. But in it, I used a great many scripture texts and addressed a great many issues concerning the education of the children of Christians and why it must not be in the government school system. And in fact, why I believe it is a sin. It is sinful to willingly place such children in that system. Yes, I believe it's sinful. I believe I can really easily prove that from the Word of God. It's sinful. And not just because of the immoral atmosphere in the government school, and that is crucial, but there are other very important reasons as well as to why it is sinful for Christians to willingly have their children educated in the government school system. But this needs to be a priority with pastors, that is to teach comprehensively on this matter and to take the right stand. And churches must also stand ready to help those brethren who truly need help to educate their children by homeschooling or in a sound, I say sound, all capital letters, Christian school. And where are the celebrity pastors with so much influence? They have so much influence. Where are they? Why aren't they speaking out? Well, it would seem they are either silent, or if they're not silent, they treat the matter as one of those, oh, no choice is wrong, but one choice could be better. Or else they're like this mega church pastor, Dr. Robert Jeffers, apparently seeking to help Christians silence their own conscience, Christian parents, with regard to sending their children into the government school system. It sounds like the man wants to comfort them and help them to, you know, silence that pesky conscience that is calling them to get their children out of the government school system. And there it is, the same old parents. Just teach them right at home, nights, you know, and weekends, and then send them into the government system as missionaries. Well, we'll address that a little bit later. I want to go on and read the rest of this. It's in the same vein, really, as the missionary vein. There it is. There's the excuse. They're missionaries. Who could be against missionaries? Well, I'll briefly, very briefly comment on that reasoning, which is so typical of those who justify what he's justifying. But that which is unjustifiable in the sight of our God. And the scriptures plainly show that. Now, let's go on. Despite the concern that some educators may ramp up their promotion of the homosexual lifestyle following the decision last month by the High Court, Jeffers believes there is still a place for Christian students in the public schools. All right, here it comes. It's going to be noble sounding. You know it is. You know, it's going to be very lofty. It's going to be supposedly on the high ground. But is it going to be biblical? Here he comes. I'm not ready to abdicate and give over the public schools to Satan completely, the pastor tells One News Now. I just believe that there's a place for Christian teachers and Christian students in the public schools where they can make a difference for Christ. Jeffers says Christian parents must balance their goal to be salt and light in a dark world with their concern for their children. And if they believe it's best to pull their children out of public school, then they should do so. In other words, it's almost shaming them. Well, you know, I know you have to be good parents, Christian parents, but, you know, you're concerned about your children. But, you know, I mean, you know, you should be salt and light. Those kids could be missionaries. and it can make a difference for Christ. But, you know, if you're one of those who apparently are just kind of weak in the faith and you think you need to pull them out, well, then, you know, go ahead and do so. You have the permission of Dr. Robert Jeffers et al. That are in that camp. So, here we have these remarks of this Dr. Jeffers. And in these remarks, we have pretty much the sum total of the argument of those pastors and really parents, but pastors are the ones I'm really concerned with because they are deceiving many parents or helping them to silence their conscience. Pastors have the most responsibility here, really. I mean, the ones that are doing this. And you have the sum total in Dr. Jeffers' remarks, the sum total pretty much of the arguments of those pastors who do justify Christians sending their children into a system which, you heard him, Jeffers himself admits, is given over to Satan, he said, although he says not completely given over to Satan. Now, think about that. The man justifies sending children of Christian parents into a system given over to Satan, at least mostly, though he claims not completely. I don't know if he's going to let them know when he feels it is completely given over. I don't know. I'm sure, you know, 10 years ago, such people were saying, well, it's not completely given over to Satan yet. But boy, if it gets to this point, but, you know, maybe he'll just let us know. He says he's not ready to abdicate and give over the public schools to Satan completely, the government schools. Well, isn't that high and lofty of him? Abdicate what, though? He's not ready to abdicate. He's digging in. He's taking his stand and using, of course, the children of Christian parents as cannon fodder, but abdicate what? I mean, the issue is bringing up children, nurturing them and educating them scholastically and religiously, if you will, spiritually, and shaping their intellects and guarding their young minds and shaping their minds and their habits of thinking and doing and so forth and how they look at things and what they learn and learning the right things and from the right people. That's the issue. Those parents who give their children over to the government educators and the influences of the government school environment for 7 hours a day, 5 days a week, 9 months a year, year after year, during the most impressionable and vulnerable times of their lives, they're the ones, those parents are the ones abdicating their responsibility. And that responsibility could certainly be summed up. It's comprehended by the command in Ephesians 6, in the verse 4, to bring them up. The children, your children, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As for the noble-sounding excuse of sending children into the government schools as missionaries and what else did he say here, to make a difference for Christ, I would bring up three things at least. Maybe before I'm done, I'll bring up more, but I want to keep this brief, and I suppose I'm just shooting from the hip somewhat, but this is an issue that's near and dear to my heart, has been for a long time, and if we love the Lord and we have a great concern for children, it just breaks our heart to think of the children going into those schools and what it could do to them, then we are going to make this a big issue, and it is near and dear to my heart. And so I'm just sharing some things with you, but I want to mention a few things at least with regard to this high and lofty excuse of sending children into the government schools as missionaries. Oh, they'll make a difference for Christ there. Such rhetoric cannot make void what the scriptures teach concerning this issue of the children of Christians in the government schools. You cannot make void the scriptures with that sort of lofty rhetoric. And the Word of God does address this issue very extensively, perhaps much more so than many of you listeners may realize in that message I told you about. I used just a multitude of scripture texts and addressed a great many issues, maybe some you hadn't even thought of. I hope you'll listen to it. Even if you don't have children in the government schools, even if you are against sending the children of Christians in the government schools, we all need to be thoroughly equipped with knowledge with regard to this very, very vital issue. So regarding this missionary statement of Jeffers, this missionary justification, and others, of course, of like mind claim the same thing, make a difference for Christ, send your child as a missionary into the government schools. Now, just think of the applications that can be made of such a statement. I mean, cut loose from scriptures and just use as general license. Using that methodology, where else could you send your children? Where else could you send them? What other environment could you send them into? Who else could you allow them to be taught by? I mean, and where and when, and or just any environment. I mean, where would you send your children then? Are there, I don't want to get graphic, but there are terrible beaches in this country now. Would you send your children there to be, well, they're going as missionaries. That's what they're doing. They're going as missionaries. They'll make a difference for Christ. Well, think about it. Can you send your children anywhere, into any environment, no matter how morally filthy? Or even can we go ourselves, so long as we claim we're doing so as missionaries? It's the same thing with regard to taking the general rule that we're to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We're commanded by Christ Jesus to be so. Of course we are. We know that. But to take that general rule, without searching the scriptures to define it and to help us to decide in situations like the government school systems and the children of Christians, to just take as a general rule, that is reckless. That is a misuse of the scriptures. That's like saying God is love. And then you can justify just about anything because God is love. You've heard it. Judge not. Now justify just anything. You know, you can't take that general rule that we're to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and then say, okay, I can justify now sending children into the government school system. The rest of what the scriptures say, they don't matter. The specific scriptures specifically addressing the issue, we won't look at those. Well, scripture must be searched to define how we put into practice that command that we're to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We don't go into places we can stand outside of and witness. Every year we hear of Christians going to these spring breaks and these beaches in Florida where it's just horrible. The situation's horrible, and you have people there. I'm not going to go into detail. You've read about, haven't you? You've heard reports. The young women, what they don't wear and what happens and the drunken orgies. And Christians go right on those beaches. Well, we want to reach them for Christ. Of course we do. But we can reach them on the college campuses. We can reach them at sporting events. But even with regard to those beaches, why do these Christians not wait till the next morning? they get up in the morning, these kids. They're sleeping not on the beach, but in town, different places, motels. They're going out to eat breakfast, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe their conscience is bothering them. There you are. With the scriptures, with the gospel, with scripture signs, handing out gospel tracts, scripture tracts too, preaching the word of God, preaching the gospel, whatever it is the Lord calls you to do. You don't have to be on the beach. You can't say, I'm called to be salt and light. I'm called to be all of that. I need to be a missionary. I got to be on the beach. I've got to be there. No, you do not. You know, yes, missionaries have had to go to terrible places to get to primitive peoples, if you will, and bring the gospel. But there was no alternatives to getting the gospel there. We have alternatives. And certainly when you're talking about educating children, you don't corrupt that and wrest that into a missionary endeavor. That's not what it is. And that's not what the children should be used as and misused as. So this idea, well, if you're salt and light, anything goes. Oh, really? You're a missionary. You're salt and light. Do you think Christian men or men claiming to be Christians should go right into those bars and taverns where lewd entertainment is being performed as long as they say, well, I'm just seeking to share the gospel with individuals I strike up conversations with, I take some tracts? Can you justify that? Of course you cannot. And you could use many other examples to show how bankrupt this sort of argument is to just say, well, it's all right. Send the children into the government school system as missionaries. There you go. Isn't that lofty? And who would be against that? And those that are, well, I guess we kind of wonder about their commitment, don't we? And we wonder about their courage. We wonder where their heart is and their love of the Lord and the lost. I would ask Dr. Jeffers, in his concern that the church be salt and light relative to the government school children of the world, has he ever, maybe he has, but has he ever actually taken the gospel to those children himself for instance, from the public sidewalk in front of a government school as children are arriving, or how about a school sporting event or other event, school event, where all sorts of children, maybe from all different areas of your state or even country, are coming. We've reported about some of those events here and witnessing at them. Coming, just pouring in, children of all ages, certainly a lot of high school children, for instance, or you might go to a college event as well, but we're talking high school and grade school children, and sharing the gospel there, passing out gospel tracts, maybe sharing a few words of witness to them, holding scripture signs, whatever it might be that way. Has he ever done that? Has he ever been salt and light that way? Has he played the missionary that way? Now, our church is absolutely opposed to the placing of children in the government school system, but we do share the gospel. I say this only because we do it, and I want to bring some light to this issue. This isn't said with any sort of pride or anything. I mean, we're only doing our duty, unworthy servants doing our duty, but we rejoice in that duty. It's a wonderful thing. But we do share the gospel with tens of thousands of young people every year, at many tens of thousands, at the state high school wrestling championships, the basketball championships, the football championships, and during many other gospel ministry efforts in the open air. But we're opposed to putting our children in the government school. Now, our children, those who are in Christ and saved and have shown the marks of that as well and as having the testimony, they go out with us. But we would not send them into the government school system to, quote, make a difference for Christ, unquote. The scriptures, I believe, forbid that. There's one last thing I would bring up with regard to those remarks by Dr. Jeffers using the missionary and the salt and light argument to justify sending the children of Christians into the government school system, that moral cesspool, and to be taught in part, and of course mistaught by evolutionists, and I say in part, and atheists and homosexuals and co-inhabitors. I'm not saying every teacher is a co-inhabitor or homosexual, but how many do you have to have? And they will be taught by the likes of the list I just named and even more. But I would just say this, missionaries must be Christians. This seems obvious. Now, surely Dr. Jeffers does not believe all of the children of Christian parents are saved by the time they enter the government school system at, what is it now, 5 years old? Some of us didn't go to kindergarten. They didn't have it where we were, but now there's kindergarten. It's 5 years old. So are all children saved by then? How can you be a missionary unless you're saved? How can you be sound light? And then secondly, missionaries are to be well-trained and well-grounded in truth. Christian children, those, I say, who are in Christ, can be, for their age, well-trained and well-grounded, I suppose, but they're not at the level where you would say they would be missionaries, would you? I mean, on their own? Just send them out? Certainly they can accompany their parents out into the world to take part in sharing the gospel, but Christian children ought not to be sent out by themselves as missionaries, let alone into a system which is so full of deceit, corruption, and immorality. And then finally, missionaries teach. They don't go out to be taught. Children are sent to the government school system to be taught hour after hour after hour every day. Missionaries go out to teach. They don't go out to be taught, and certainly not by the heathen. But Dr. Jeffers and his kind, they have much to lose if they actually and systematically teach what the scriptures have to say about sending the children of Christians into the government school system. After all, teaching such things, including that the scriptures clearly forbid sending your children into the government school system, well, it's not conducive to building a large church and a large following. But I want to close here. I just checked the website of Dr. Robert Jeffers' church, First Baptist Church of Dallas. He's very much, the arguments he has, by the way, they're not unique. This is just the common fare among these people that justify sending the children of Christians into the government school system. But real quickly, I just thought you might like to hear, we're talking about, I guess, ministry then, aren't we, sending children in there to the government schools. Maybe you'd like to hear about this ministry from Jeffers Church. I think it says much about their church. It's not their only ministry, but they have a sports and fitness ministry. And I'll read a little bit. The Sports and Fitness Ministry at First Baptist Dallas uses team sports, fitness, and recreation as a way to connect sports and fitness-minded individuals to themselves and to the life of First Dallas. Whether you're looking for a casual game of co-ed softball or high-intensity group workout, the First Dallas Sports and Fitness Ministry has a place for you. Now, the man says that's a ministry. So, you know, maybe that helps us see why he thinks some of the things he thinks with regard to the government schools. I don't know. Here's youth basketball clinics under Sports and Fitness Ministry. And what do the youth learn in this ministry? Well, let's see what they learn. Learn basketball fundamentals from former college basketball players and trained instructors. Each session includes offensive fundamentals, shooting mechanics, dribbling and passing drills, contests and games, and a spiritual message. Space is limited. Well, they do have a spiritual message, you see, as they teach all these things. Here we have fall sports, 4-on-4 volleyball, tells all about it. They're going to be a draft or have a draft. There's a captain's meeting, et cetera, et cetera. No mention of a spiritual lesson, but it's at the First Dallas. It's called their Wicker Gym. What else do we have here? We have co-ed flag football. They have free agents will be selected by a draft at the preseason captain's meetings. You know, it's laughable, isn't it? I mean, isn't it laughable? FBA Saints Athletic Complex. That's where you go. First Baptist, I don't know what the A stands for, Saints Athletic Complex. You have new fitness class, Core Power Stretch. This is under, you know, ministry. You click on ministries and you go here. Let's see, what do we do in this ministry? I got to see what we do here. Well, it's $10 per session, $40 per month. You can get a deal on the first month for $30, by the way. We will fuse various disciplines of core conditioning. Pilates, as in Pontius Pilate. I don't know what that means. The next is, B-A-R-R-E. And then interval cardio training and therapeutic stretching in a highly charged environment with upbeat music. Well, that's some of the CCM they use at this church. Although I suppose they have also the so-called traditional. You know, they always have traditional if you want it, CCM if you want it, whatever. This low-impact class incorporates exercises that promote balance between strength and flexibility. Well, we know how important that is in ministry, strength and flexibility, and are functional for injury prevention and cross-training. The format of this class easily adapts on an individual basis to meet all fitness levels from absolute beginners to elite athletes. Participants are encouraged to bring their own mats. And so then you have the instructor here, and boy, this instructor is something else. I can see where this Lindsay Murray would head up this ministry, new fitness class, Core Power Stretch. She's a movement specialist and wellness consultant, has taught at many spas, resorts, and professional conventions around the world. Lindsay is an ACE and AFAA continuing education provider and currently teaches Core Fusion at Exhale Spa. Now, you see this fusion stuff around. I see that everywhere. I don't know what fusion is, not that kind of fusion. But anyway, she works days, if you will, at Exhale Spa. This is all under ministry. And then we have Upward Sports. And what do we find is done in this ministry? Well, I won't read all the way through it, but they're going to improve players' skills and techniques, and they teach sportsmanship, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's not a ministry. But it's under ministry, and then they have this other boot camp, and it's all about cardio, fitness, et cetera, et cetera, fat-burning workout, and et cetera, et cetera. I think I better stop here, don't you? Underneath it all, it's interesting. I didn't click on any of these. You have weddings, and then under that it says venues, pricing, availability, wedding details, requirements. Then you have sports and fitness ministry again. Professional services directory. This is all on this church website. The St. Paul Cafe. And then they have a library, and then a First Baptist Academy and a pregnancy center. You can click on that and go there. So that's the way it goes. But we'll close it right here. And with just one last encouragement, listen to that message. An education acceptable to God.